Good afternoon, everybody. I am Quakisha Jackson, and I am from Georgia Southern University, and I worked on factors associated with high-risk sexual behavior among sexually active adolescent females, and we used the YRBS, the 2005 YRBS, and I worked with my research mentor, Dr. Cassandra Arroyo, and some other faculty members, Dr. Duopong and Dr. Ray Chowardy. I have no disclosures. A few years ago, as an undergraduate student, I was asked to write down a topic that I thought was important, and I chose HIV and AIDS. And when I began to do research on this topic, I found that HIV and AIDS is affecting the African American community more so than any other race, and has become a health crisis for this particular ethnicity. At the time, I didn't understand, and I really wanted to know why, and I wanted to know more. According to the CDC's 2005 HIV surveillance report, African Americans make up 13% of the U.S. population and accounted for 49% of new HIV/AIDS diagnoses in 2005. This epidemic is affecting African American women more so than any other race. African-American women are diagnosed 24 times the rate of Caucasian women and accounted for 68% of new HIV/AIDS diagnoses in 2005. Youth ages 15 to 24 accounted for 13% of HIV diagnoses and 5.1% of AIDS diagnoses. This is a 42% increase since the year 2000. African-American women accounted for 70% of new HIV infections from high-risk heterosexual contact. It is imperative to understand what leads to these high-risk sexual behaviors. There are many risk factors that are associated with these increasing rates, such as substance use, lack of awareness, socioeconomic status, and high-risk sexual behavior. The primary objective of this study is to identify key risk factors that are more prevalent in African-American adolescent females and non-Hispanic Caucasian sexually active adolescent females that may provide a basic explanation of what leads to these high-risk sexual behaviors. Data for this study is taken from the 2005 Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System. This is an epidemiologic surveillance system created by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and administered by the National Center for Health Statistics. It is a three-stage cluster sample design representative of students in grades 9 through 12. And the target population also includes public, private, and Catholic schools. For the purpose of the present study, we restricted our analysis to adolescent females only. We were interested in comparing the sexual behaviors of African-American adolescents to the sexual behaviors of Caucasian adolescent females, so we excluded those who reported their race as Hispanic, Asian Pacific Islander, multiracial, or others. And we also excluded those who were not sexually active, leaving a final total of 2,186 Caucasian African-American adolescent females. The outcome of interest in this study was lack of condom use, which we defined as high-risk behavior, with the answer no to the question, did you use condoms at your last sexual intercourse? The variables of interest include age, grade, race, sexual history, emotional health, and HIV/AIDS education. These variables were analyzed using SPSS, and we did cross-tabulations of all the variables stratified by race with chi-square tests to determine significance. We also analyzed the data using a logistic regression, starting with a fully saturated model and using backward selection with significant level of 0.10 and for the variables to remain in the model. And the final model contained variables that were significant at the 0.05 level. This is the demographic characteristics stratified by race. The sample was 59% Caucasian females and 41% African-American females. This table shows the prevalence of risk factors stratified by race. These are the raw numbers and percentages reported by each race. There are some factors that were interesting that we find, such as high-risk behavior. 41.5% of Caucasian girls reported high-risk behavior compared to 37.9% of African-American girls. However, 37.9% of I'm sorry, 39.1% of Caucasian girls reported three or more sexual partners in their lifetimes, while 46.5% of African American girls reported three or more sexual partners in their lifetimes. This is a table of some of the questions that were asked with significant associations with high-risk behavior, stratified by race. The asterisks indicate positive associations with high-risk sexual behavior. The green asterisks indicate positive associations, while the red asterisks indicate negative associations. The Caucasian girls had more variables that were significant with high-risk behavior compared to the African-American girls. These are the significant variables that both races had in common. The number of sexual partners in their lifetime, history of partner abuse and forced sex, and ever been tested for HIV/AIDS. The grade variable yielded similar results for both races. The higher the grade, the more likely they were to report high-risk behavior. This is especially true for African-American girls. African-American girls were 3.78 times more likely to report high-risk behavior if they were in the 12th grade compared to Caucasian girls, who were 2.25 times more likely to report high-risk behavior if they were in the 12th grade. These are the significant factors that were different for both races. Caucasian girls, having ever played team sports and an underweight weight description, were protective factors, but these variables were not significant for African-American girls. However, the variable seriously considered suicide in the past 12 months was significant for African-American girls, but was not significant for Caucasian girls. Some limitations of the study were that we had a smaller sample size of African-American girls compared to Caucasian girls, and we also may have excluded students that may have dropped out of school or were placed in alternative schools because they were because the YRBS only samples inside the school system. And we were also unable to look at life course information, which would show whether or not these students were consistently engaging in these specific risk factors. Some strengths of the study were that we had a relatively large sample size overall, and we had a variety of risk factors available. And we were also able to look at preliminary information regarding possible risk factors. The results of this study may suggest that there may be other factors other than the ones presented in this study that may better explain risk behaviors of African-American females. Although this is true, we have eliminated widely accepted variables as explanations for these females. Future studies should be done including females who are not sexually active and for both races, and possibly look at background information to see if there are any lurking variables that may better explain these behaviors, such as religion or number of parents in the home. Studies should also be done to explore the suicide factors that were significant for African-American girls, because it may show that their mental health status is influencing their high-risk behaviors. And the findings from this study and future studies will aid in the development of intervention and culturally appropriate prevention programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the interest of complete disclosure, I should also mention that my name is Peter Thomas, and I'm an epidemiologist with the CDC, just so we're all clear on who I am and who I represent. Our next speaker will be Marcy Rubin. She's a doctoral student in sociomedical sciences at Columbia University in New York, and she'll be speaking, and her research focuses in health disparities, of course.